Hello, this is Doug Hagen. On this edition of If You're Left, You Just Ain't Right, here on ChimpseyTalk.com, I'm going to get into history. History is so important because it is true that if you don't know your history, you don't know what you're about as a nation. And the further we've moved away from the Constitution, the bigger trouble we've gotten into as a country. So today I tackle the war between the states, what really caused it. Get ready for some truth about history right now. Because it's such an important topic. I know some people are going to hear me talking about a war that happened 150 years ago, and they're going to say, look, that's history. You're talking about a century and a half ago. We've got more problems right now than we can deal with, and talking about history isn't going to change anything today. But if we don't know our history, if we don't know our Constitution, if we don't know about our founding principles, if we don't know about really one of the most defining moments in American history, the war between the states, then we're not going to understand and get a grip and a grasp on what we have problems with today. Shelby Foote, the late historian and author, said that there's two periods of American history you must understand. The founding, obviously, the American Revolution, and the war between the states. And I call it the war between the states for a very good reason. I like accuracy. I, like Dennis Prager, prefer clarity to agreement. I may not agree with you, but I want you to be clear what I'm saying. I want to be clear what you're saying. Again, I prefer clarity to agreement. The term Civil War is the one most often used, and it is used probably 85% of the time. It's incorrect. And there's an important reason it's incorrect. A civil war is two or more factions fighting for control of a government. The Confederate States seceded from the Union, declared their independence, formed their own government, formed their own military, elected their own senators, congressmen, their own president, their own vice president, and asked to be let alone. They didn't want to take over Washington, D.C. They didn't want to take over the federal government. They didn't want to do any of that stuff. They wanted, as President Davis repeatedly asked, only to be let alone. Here's a very important quote from Jefferson Davis I found. And it is important to listen and understand something about Davis before I read this quote. When you get into the war between the states and what caused it, most people are going to say slavery. And Davis, in this quote, refutes that. And people say, oh, yeah, of course he didn't want it to be about slavery. He's spinning. He was trying to play politics. Jefferson Davis wasn't a man to be spinning things. He's not like today's politicians. Abraham Lincoln, frankly, was a better politician than Davis. He understood spin. He understood telling things the way you wanted them to be perceived. The abolitionists of the North who wanted the war to be about slavery said about very early, trying to convince Europe and trying to convince as many people as they could that it was about slavery, because for them it was. But for most people north and south, it wasn't. And Davis says very concisely his views, and again, remember, Davis was a bitterly honest man. He was not interested in spin. He was not interested in perception. He was interested in imparting his views, sharing his views. And this is a quote. "I tried all in my power to avert this war. I saw it coming. For 12 years I worked night and day to prevent it, but I could not. The North was mad and blind. It would not let us govern ourselves, and so the war came. And now it must go on till the last man of this generation falls in his tracks, and his children seize the musket and fight our battle, unless you acknowledge our right to self-government. We are not fighting for slavery. We are fighting for independence, and that or extermination." Self-government, and people will say, oh, sure, self-government, states' rights to own slaves. Again, I've said this before, there's a difference between principles and issues. Too many people have focused on the great moral issue that's always associated with this war, slavery. Slavery was an abomination. That's what Robert E. Lee said. It was opposed by many people. Jefferson Davis and himself saw an end to slavery coming. He thought it was the duty of the white man to do all they could to prepare blacks for freedom so they could live and work and prosper and succeed. And that's not to say that Davis, who was very progressive, truly progressive for his time, he didn't think that whites and blacks were equal. Neither did Abraham Lincoln. Most people of that time probably didn't. So it's unfair to judge anyone in that portion of history by the standards of us 150 years later. Keep that in mind. But a lot of the abolitionists, a lot of the Northerners who were so appalled by slavery, they may have wanted the slaves freed, but they didn't want them here. They didn't want them in this country. They didn't want them in their communities or cities or towns or states. Many northern states passed laws, many western states too, where there was no slavery, passed laws that said no blacks, period. And there was punishments laid out for blacks who tried to take residence there. The South was much more integrated. And this doesn't just apply to the fact there were slaves there. There was a very large population of free blacks living in the South. I'm not pretending they had equal rights. I'm not pretending everything was rosy, as somebody, I'm sure, will accuse me of doing, because they don't want to argue facts. But it should be noted that there were Northerners who went to the South and visited and were appalled at the close relationships between many blacks and whites. Many blacks on small farms raised the children. They were nannies. Confederate soldiers, many of them, would go into battle with a small doll that had been sewn and made for them. And the doll represented the black woman that had done a good part of their rearing. There was genuine affection many times. And again, anyone who wants to accuse me of defending slavery, that's the tried and true method to muddy the water and get away from the debate. I'm not playing that card. Everything I've ever written and said about this war is there. People can find it. People can read it. No way I've ever defended slavery. Again, I would agree with Robert E. Lee. It was an abomination. And it is a stain on the great history of this great nation. But I want to tell the truth about it. I don't want to tell the truth about the war and what caused the war. I'm not interested in political correctness. I'm like Jefferson Davis in that aspect. I don't care what you think. I care what you know. I don't care what you feel. I care what you know. It's been said of Lincoln and Davis, when you compare these two, it's been said that Davis did a lot of the right things, but for the wrong reasons. And it's been said that Lincoln did a lot of wrong things, but for the right reasons. Here's where people make the mistake, and many conservatives do too. They look at the issue of slavery. They don't look at the principles that led to war. The main principle was one that went back to the very founding of this country. How big would this federal government be? How much power would it have? How much power did states have? How much sovereignty did they retain? Were they still sovereign? Could they willingly leave the nation they had willingly joined? And that goes back again to the founding of the country. And for most part, men like Davis looked at the Constitution, read it, and, well, as one historian put it in a book I just read about Davis not long ago, again comparing Lincoln and Davis, he said of Davis that he didn't possess Lincoln's ability to see the Constitution as it could be. He saw it only as it was. Now, to me, that's to Davis's credit and to the shame of Lincoln. If you read the Constitution in that time, of course you would read it as it was. Davis believed firmly that there was one and only one way to change the Constitution. That's to amend it. That should be true today. But Lincoln saw it again. Conservatives hold up Lincoln as the father of the Republican Party. Yet here was a man who trampled civil rights, arrested many, many, many that disagreed with the war, shut down newspapers, and he shouldn't be celebrated for doing that. And they can excuse it all along, but it's always trying to win the war. Fact is, he trampled the Constitution. As another historian put it, Davis was willing to sacrifice the Union as it stood to preserve the Constitution. Lincoln was willing to shred all or part of the Constitution to save the Union. And again, for those who would cheer Lincoln and say, well, good, he saved the Union, and he freed the slaves. A, he didn't free any slaves. But B, what Union exactly are you preserving if you shred the founding document that defines that nation? How is that saving any Union? You saved what? You haven't saved the Union you had. You've saved something else. Today we have politicians, and I think back to the 2008 presidential debates and campaigns, and of all the men and women that ran, Democratic and Republican, I remember thinking that there was one person in that whole group, one that sounded like he had actually read the Constitution, was familiar with it, and respected it. That was Fred Thompson. The rest, it was this talking point, that talking point, and no real substance. No reference back to the Constitution. And we saw how Thompson did in the election, didn't we? So people today say the Constitution matters, and it does, but our politicians, our political leaders have largely forgotten it. Look to the Obamacare debate. Look to any number of debates. How many times do you hear your senator, your representative, the president, or anyone else stand up and say, well, I've read the bill, and I just cannot support it because it's unconstitutional. Pretty rare words, kind of like hen's teeth. How many times do you hear a politician say, you know, the first and foremost thing I looked at in this bill was to make sure it was constitutional? You don't hear that either. You hear people like Representative Phil Hare of Illinois, who said during the Obamacare debate, he was having a town hall, people were interviewing him, and they asked him a very simple indirect question, the question being, where in the Constitution do you get the authority, do you find the authority to force people to buy a product, in this case, health care coverage? And Harris said, "I don't know and I don't care." Nancy Pelosi was asked the same question by a reporter. She scoffed and laughed at the question, told him he couldn't be serious. We heard Jan Schakowsky, audio tape of her a couple weeks ago on this show, mocking people who believed in the 10th Amendment. Mocking people who think that America is based on a system, a constitution, where the power of government is derived solely from the people. They're out of touch. They don't know what the Constitution says, or they don't care. Our government is so screwed up, and our country is becoming more and more and more and more screwed up. Because we're like that person that goes out and buys the latest high-tech floor cleaner, rug cleaner, and has to assemble it. You know, those famous words that every parent fears at Christmas time, some assembly required. And they go and they buy it, and they open up the box, and they take all the parts out. Then they take the instruction manual on how to assemble this machinery, and they chuck it in the garbage and never look at it. And then they end up with something that doesn't work, pieces everywhere, they can't figure it out, they're aggravated, they're pulling their hair out. And it doesn't work, and it never will work. Our politicians today are trying to run the country and assemble this without reading the instruction manual, the Constitution. The founders gave us a very simple document. It's not that complicated. It's not hard to understand. But our political leaders refuse to reference it, refuse to obey it. This is what Southerners were so terrified of in the 1850s and 1860 and leading up to the war between the states. Sure, there was an issue of expanding slavery into territories. And could new states that join the Union have slavery or not? And how should we divide the country to create this balance in the Senate? The problem was, Jefferson Davis held the view, and it is a constitutionally sound view, I think, held the view at the time that when a territory wants to become part of the country, before it becomes a state, before it has a state constitution, it's federal. It's not a state. So how can you have a territory not obeying federal law? And the federal law at the time was slavery was legal. I don't like that part of our history. You don't like it. No one likes it. But not liking it isn't the same as saying it wasn't the case, and it was the case, sadly. Davis held the view also that when that territory becomes a state, for those who are saying, see, it's all about defending slavery for him. Davis also believed that when that territory becomes a state, when it has a constitution, it has a state government, then the people of that state, being sovereign, that state retaining its sovereignty, could outlaw slavery if it wanted to. These people that argue that Davis was just about slavery, Confederacy is just about slavery, they often point to the slavery in the territories issue and the Kansas-Nebraska Act and the Compromise of 1820 and all the others. They neglect to mention that Davis was fully in support of a state. Again, states' rights, state sovereignty. And people have confused states' rights with slavery. They've been kind of brainwashed by a lot of historians. They've heard that spin enough times that they equate the two. States' rights wasn't so much about separate issues. It was about principle. The principle that the Constitution gives the federal government only certain powers. We're still having that today. The left is still arguing that the Constitution is a living document and it can mean whatever the hell they want it to mean, whatever they want it to mean it today. They argue against state sovereignty today. They want more federal government, more federal power, more federal regulation, and more control to the federal and less control to the states. Hell, the left wants more and more control given by us to the United Nations. Their whole thing is centralization. They want more and more power consolidated as far away from the people they claim to love the liberty of as possible. That's their pipe dream. And the further away from the people you remove the power, the more corruption, the more waste, the more fraud, and the more egregious violations of basic human liberties you get. That's the way it is. So what was Lincoln's view of slaves? Lincoln felt like a lot of Northern abolitionists, of which Lincoln was not an abolitionist, by the way, but they wanted slaves freed, and again, the nation of Liberia. That was a nation formed by ex-slaves that had been removed from the United States and sent there. That was the dream of a lot of abolitionists was, yeah, we don't want slavery, but we don't want them here. There was more integration in the South, as I said earlier. There were probably better overall race relations in the South. It doesn't mean there weren't bad things done, horrific things done by some slave owners. But when you look at about 94% of Southerners did not own slaves, they had no interest in fighting for the preservation of slavery. Their country wasn't formed to preserve slavery. And I know there's people out there chomping at the bit that they want somebody to come on and challenge me and say, well, look at the Ordinance of Secession of South Carolina and some of the other states. You see, when South Carolina and Mississippi and Alabama, Florida, Louisiana, Texas, Georgia seceded, formed the Confederate States of America, shortly after Lincoln called for troops to put down the rebellion. This was after Fort Sumter was fired on. What happened after that? Arkansas, Tennessee, and North Carolina and Virginia, which had opposed secession before, slave states, by the way, immediately passed ordinances of secession and left the Union. Why? Because of slavery? No. Very simply, they saw the federal government trying to force other states, sovereign states, back into a union they no longer wanted to belong to at the point of bayonet. And they couldn't have that. So they cast their lot with their sister southern states. And go online and read the ordinances of secession of Tennessee, North Carolina, Arkansas, Virginia. You won't find the word slavery in them. It wasn't about slavery. Remember earlier this year, around April, Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell proclaimed Confederate History Month in Virginia, and the people went nuts. The usual race pimps did, of course, but even some conservatives criticized him because he failed to mention slavery. Well, why would he, in a state proclamation honoring the state of Virginia and its role in the war between the states and as a member of the Confederacy, why would you bring up something that the state in its ordinance of secession didn't mention? Slavery had nothing to do with Virginia leaving the Union. It was Lincoln's call for troops and Virginia's refusal to supply troops and then their subsequent secession because they felt like the Union had become something they no longer wanted to be a part of. Same with the other three states I mentioned. The fact is, there were people who felt, and Davis was one of these people, that felt that after South Carolina seceded, if Lincoln had just not tried to reinforce and resupply Fort Sumter, if he'd let that go, actually President Buchanan, I'm sorry, not President Lincoln, he wasn't president yet, but if Buchanan had just let that go, then the other states that seceded would not have, because that pressure from Washington, D.C., from the federal government, led the other states to think, well, our biggest fears are going to come true. The whole principled argument was about how big the federal government is, whether states are sovereign, going back to the Constitution, going back to the founders, what they wrote in the Constitution, to the founding fathers of the Confederacy. There was no difference in what they did and what the 13 original colonies did. You know, it's interesting. I remember being in Franklin, Tennessee at the battlefield there, and there was a Park Service guy giving a talk about the battle, and someone asked him, they had seen the Great Seal of the Confederacy, an image of it, and the Great Seal of the Confederacy has George Washington on a horse, and they were asking him why George Washington would be on the Great Seal of the Confederacy. And this Park Service guy said, "Well, that is really confusing. I really don't know why." And you know, I spoke him and said, "Look, he was revered by the founders of the Confederacy. They felt they were doing pretty much exactly what Washington and the Revolution Army had done, and the 13 colonies had done. So it should come as no real surprise." Jefferson Davis referred to the founding fathers as our fathers, and he revered them. And again, if the Constitution said it, that was it. There was no gray area with Davis. This is not a stand on an issue. It's a stand of principles. And his stand on principles superseded his view on different issues. To him, there was one way and one way only to change the Constitution. That's to amend it. And again, think back the words I said earlier. Criticism of Davis is he saw the Constitution as it was, not as it could be. It's ludicrous to assume that someone should see the Constitution not as it is, but as it might be or could be or in their mind should be. And we need to talk about natural law. This is the fourth time I've recorded this show, so I'm a little burned out. But higher law. A lot of the abolitionists believe in something called higher law. Higher law basically meaning that it doesn't matter what state law says, doesn't matter what state constitution says, doesn't matter what the federal constitution says. If something's wrong, it's wrong, and to hell with the constitution. To hell with amending the constitution, to hell with going through proper channels. And again, people, a lot of them get trapped in this issues versus principles thing, and they say, well, the issue was slavery. Slavery was clearly wrong, and they were right to want it ended. Fine. But once you've circumvented the Constitution, once you've gone around it, gone through it, gone over it, changed it, in effect, without actually amending it, you begin the process of rendering it mute. You begin the process of neutering the Constitution. And what good does that do anyone exactly? How does that help the country? We see the results of neutering the Constitution. We see the results today of states being subservient to the federal government, not what the Constitution called for. Again, certain specific powers are delegated by the states to the federal government. Other than that, it's hands off. The state of Iowa, the state of Michigan, the state of Arkansas, or Alaska, they decide what to do about many things. Today we have a federal government. Remember what the South feared. They feared an over-intrusive government that would not respect the Constitution, would not respect states' rights, states' sovereignty, and would just go to hell with the Constitution and do whatever they wanted to. What do we have today in America? Think about it. We have exactly that situation in many cases. I talked to y'all last week about the state of New York. The federal government coming in and telling the city of New York and the state of New York what kind of road signs they can have, what kind of font should be on their road signs. Well, how is that anyone's business in the federal government? That's a state or city issue, depending, maybe county, depending on who maintains the roads. We're not talking about interstates here. We're talking about state highways, state roads, city roads, county roads. That's ludicrous. Yet, no one pays attention to the Constitution. We have Obamacare. That bill contains things that none of us will ever fully understand or know. Yet, here we are, just waiting to see what it contains. And we're not supposed to be worried about a big federal government overstepping its boundaries. Obamacare is a classic example of that. And you can argue that the issue, great moral issue, was slavery all day long. You can ignore that Jefferson Davis adopted a black child. You can ignore the fact that Stonewall Jackson ran a Sunday school in Lexington, Virginia before the war. You can ignore the fact that that Robert E. Lee wasn't a man who defended slavery. You can ignore the fact that most Southerners didn't own slaves. But you're ignoring history. You can ignore the fact that the Confederate Army contained Hispanics, Jews, Catholics, blacks, American Indians. You can overlook that too if you want to, but you're only lying to yourself. And that does no one any good, most of all you, and ultimately most of all your country. Because when your country's children are growing up ignorant, when they don't understand the history, they don't understand the founding, and they don't understand what this incredible struggle 150 years ago was really about, how are they going to understand events today? How are they going to understand anything that's going on in this world or in this country? It doesn't work like that, folks. And again, I urge you, do your own research. Go get your own resources. Look these things up yourselves. Understand. My only interest is that history is preserved. History shouldn't be sanitized. It shouldn't be spun. It shouldn't be hung out to dry, rinsed, wash, rinse, repeat, anything like that. It should be presented exactly as it happened. Period. And folks, that's it for me. Remember our Facebook page at chimpseytalk.com. Remember, you can go there and check out all the hosts, what they're going to have on their shows, when their shows are coming up. You can also chat with us when our shows are on, and we like to hear from you. We really do. Be it good or bad commentary, let us have it. And don't forget my blog, along with Edward Daly, of course, at dailygator.wordpress.com. Thank you for your patronage here to Chimpsy Talk. I appreciate it very much. All the hosts do. And remember, I'll be back next week, next Monday evening, to chat with you again. Until then, good night. God bless. Remember, if you're left, you just ain't right. History must be presented as it was. And go Gators. Good night, everybody.